Hey, welcome to another episode of the Neon Black Podcast. It's E here, and this week the E stands for immortal, for I am young, and therefore will never die. This week's episode is brought to you by your trio of hosts. The first voice you'll hear is my own, the second will be Remy Bucksaplenty, no relation, and the third will be Mikey, also known as Azure. This episode we talked about video game protagonists and video game movies, among other things. We hope you enjoy, and I'll meet you back at the end.
Anyway, speaking of playing things, I heard Mikey was talking about playable characters. What's up, Mike?
Playable character? Oh, like your top, like people that you fuck with?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't know if you guys know this game, but it was an Xbox exclusive.
Call of Duty.
It was called Ori of the Blind of the Blind Forest or something like that.
Yeah,
and it was like you were like this little spirit creature, and it was basically like, I guess it was kind of like an allegory for, like, what's the word? Like, environmental
awareness.
Just like, yeah, like environmental awareness, and like it's destroying the stuff around you and stuff like that. Kind of like how you should protect what is there instead of just like letting there be death and stuff all around you. And the little creature in that game, I don't know, I really like him as like a character, like just because he was raised by this creature that was like owl-like. So he didn't really fit into a box of, I am just this creature, I'm just this spirit creature. Like, I also relate with the owls that, you know, took care of me and all this stuff. So it was kind of cool to see like different worlds come together and him trying to bring peace back to this forest. And now they're doing like a new one called
Will of the Wisp.
I think, yeah, the Will of the Wisp. And like he has like a little brother now, and it's like little girl that he's like, he's trying to train and teach him like the world. And the little brother is still kind of naive. So like he goes out flying and he gets caught in a storm. So now it's like up to you to guide him back to your home and do all this stuff. And he's just like this little, I don't know, I like him. He's really cool. I really vibed with him really heavy. And I still keep, what's his name? Cloud up there, because I mean, I love that guy in terms of like just how his story went down. I just like how, without ruining anything, I just like how you find out who he is, and it's a story about him trying to find out who he is, and once he does find out who he is, he becomes a better version of it. If without, that doesn't really make sense without knowing stuff in between, but it's cool to see the growth. And I don't remember the third person, but I'm just gonna stick with Lee because that nigga was cool to me too.
Lee who?
Everett.
Lee Everett, yeah.
Well, I mean, I know, but people listening don't know.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, gotta pander to the audience.
Yeah, he's up there for real. For sure. Yeah. Did you ever watch, by chance, the Final Fantasy VII Advent Children movie?
That's what I was telling Remy. I was like, when he was saying he didn't hear much about what Cloud could do, I was like, bruh, if you watch Advent Children, you'll see. this nigga wildin'. But yeah, I watched it. I actually owned it for a little bit. I lost it. I don't know where it went.
Tragic. Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're not doing top three. We're just doing three that are up there.
Yeah,
three that you relate, that makes you feel at home. I also actually, you know, I like Spyro a lot, because that nigga was cool. Spyro was actually pretty dope. He was like, because like, he was in that generation where all characters are supposed to be like super extreme. Like, you know,
edgy and cool.
Sonic, yeah. And I feel like he's the only one that really did it right in terms of comedic factor and I am the shit type of thing, because as a dragon, he had to learn like all these different abilities. And apparently he was like a special dragon because he was the only one that could learn all the different abilities. So you were pretty much just going through the game, like each game, he just got significantly more badass. And so like the third one, this man can just do all the elements. And then he got like a dark side and he became like an omni dragon. And I was like, this nigga's only like 12 years old. Like, oh no, man. He was dope. Spyro had it. I don't care if you listen. Nigga was cool.
Interesting.
I made it like the Skylanders stuff. That was stupid, but
yeah. I mean that was just Spyro. That was just branding.
Yeah.
Trying to think. I know Bigby was one of mine. Bigby Wolf. Mm-hmm. Never forget.
From the Wolf Among Us.
The wolf in there among me, because I don't know. I smell him from a mile away.
Okay. All right.
Just like in all Skyrim, right. They'd be like, you smell like a wet dog. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, damn, how do they know? Like, shit.
Man, Skyrim is that's actually another topic. I got it.
I was thinking the same thing. I almost went on a full Skyrim tangent. I was like, nope, no, pull it back. Don't do that. Not right now. Bigby Wolf. I know I said Cassandra, but I don't know. No, she is up there. I do like her from Assassin's Creed Odyssey. She's
actually really good. Still need to play that.
Just that was a coincidence. It just happened. That was on purpose. When I head over there, I'll give it to you when I head over there.
Are you done with it? I know the game is long.
Yeah, no, I finished. I haven't done the DLC, but I finished it. Again, another topic we can talk about another time. But real quick, that game ended so lackluster. Like the ending just happened. It just happened.
It was a really bad ending.
You know what? We're about to talk about it. We're going to circle back to it in a second. So I got Bigby, we got Cassandra, and I. John Marsden,
Red Dead Redemption 1.
Yeah. Because, like I was saying last time, like the through line, I think, between all my characters is how they battle between like the two sides that they have. Like Bigby's, his whole thing is about him being the big bad wolf, and how like everyone treats him like he's the villain, or like he's too aggressive, too whatever, and like how like when I first started playing the game, they kind of drop you into the middle of all these relationships. So I was just going under the assumption that everybody was, because if everybody's treating me like this, including that, they got to be, someone's got to be right, and like if they're all treating me like this, I probably did something terrible in the past. But the longer I kept playing, the more I started realizing that no, they're just all making assumptions based on like what I had to do in the past to get the job done, or just by the nature of being the big bad wolf, the werewolf, the whatever.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. It's just like, just because you were a quote unquote monster, they're like, right. Oh, this nigga can't be good.
Exactly. And then like, so like,
you don't even know me.
So what I thought was so cool about the way I play the game was how I would always be like mostly nice until I needed to get something done. Like if somebody whose life was on the line, or I needed to get this information to get to someone else, then that's when I would like go angry or use the big bad wolf in that way or get aggressive. So like my story for Bigby Wolf was about how everyone thought I was the big bad wolf, but only because I had to get the job done because nobody else was going to do it. And I thought that was just a cool way to have that character exist. And then John was the same thing, like him and his redemption of being like, all you need to know for Red Dead Redemption, which is like, you go back and play that game right now and it'd still be fucking awesome. There'd probably be a couple, like, handful of, like, little things that I'm missing just because, you know, it's an older game. But, like, all you need to know is that he was almost a pirate. He was a cowboy. He did bad things with a gang, and then he tried to turn his life around, and he has a family. That's all you really need to know. And him having to go deal with his old gang members and his old crew and try and figure out, do I deserve this life? Do I not? Like, I know I did some bad shit, but I'm not really that bad now, but it doesn't matter. And like him trying to figure out where he existed in the world, I thought was also super cool. And then with Cassandra, I just like how she was soft. Well, at least the way I played her, and she was soft at times, but like she didn't let you like step all over her. Like whenever you did something like negative towards her, you try to cheat her, she fucked you up. There's actually a side mission There's actually a side mission where this dude is like, hey, man, give me like 1,000 gold or whatever, and I'll give you this information. I was like, all right, sure, fine. It's a video game. Fine, whatever. Gave him the gold. He's like, it's on this island. I went to the island. I went in the chest. The chest was empty. I come back. I'm like, dude, what the fuck? And he goes, no, that couldn't be empty because something. And he slips up and basically admitted that there was never anything in the chest. And then he runs away. My Cassandra chased him down. I beat his ass. What you thought this was? The fuck you thought this was? Like, no. That's not how this works. You don't just scam me. Oh, he was moving. He was hustling. Because that's the other thing, too. I didn't want to kill him outright, so I couldn't just, like, shoot an arrow at him or something. So I literally had to chase him down and beat his ass. But regardless, like, that's, like, my Cassandra in a nutshell. Hey, you're just some dude. You have something to give. Fair trade. That's cool. That's fine. You tried to cheat me? That's your ass. Like, that's it. Like, that's nothing else needs to be said. And, like, I just like how...
a good way to handle life, especially back then. It's very...
Yeah,
very
like, fair. It was cool. It was real cool. But, yeah. I mean, I'll let you go on year three, and then we can circle back to the ending of that game.
Yeah, so the three I'll choose. Shit, I mean, definitely a lot of that with the, you know, Johnny Marston and Big B, you know, Cloud, et cetera, but for the sake of choosing different people, I'll say, actually, to add on to Mikey when he said Lee Everett from The Walking Dead, Telltale's Walking Dead, I'll add Clementine to that. Because I did not think I would enjoy playing, like, a game as a little girl until season 2 of The Walking Dead, bro. I was like, wow. And it's like, you're playing this here. I remember when it started, I was like, I'm really playing this in memory of that boy Lee, you know? But then as I kept going, I was like, oh, now I'm playing it for him and for Clem. I was like, you know, like, the story was nice, and it just... She faced a lot of the same problems that Lee faced, but it really made you realize too the advantages you had when you were a grown man, you know, like versus a little girl trying to survive in the apocalypse. But she was with it though, bro. She was like the most capable person all around, which was kind of ridiculous because they were literally like grown adults, like asking this little girl, right. "Hey, can you go kill those four zombies and then get the MacGuffin?"
Hey, man. Hey, bro. when life comes at you hard, you got to learn to survive.
Oh my god. But yeah, Clementine was that one. I liked Ezio because I got a little list here, so I just saw his name. Ezio Auditore, Assassin's Creed 2. Obviously, Assassin's Creed 2 did a lot for the whole series, and Ezio is a massive fan favorite. But I mean, his arc in just the first game, Assassin's Creed 2, going from 17-year-old little playboy kind of cocky, arrogant kind of kid to I think he ends the game and he's like 40 and he's like a master assassin. He's a whole new character. He's like mature and patient. He's a killing like machine, like a Terminator goddamn. And it was nice to see that growth. I really like seeing the personal development of a character like that, you know, and his revenge mission. And then my third, I'll say Geralt of Rivia from the Witcher series. You know, Geralt, it's like I said before, you know, he's kind of similar to Bigby. He's seen as a monster. He's kind of an emotionless, hyper-violent kind of guy. I think the people in Geralt's world kind of see him with more or with a lot of disgust, kind of. They're just like, you know, like mutant, like freak and all that. And Geralt, you know, he walks the path and he's just like, yeah, whatever, with the stoicism. Sometimes it's so
crazy though, like they treat him like that, and they always ask for this nigga's help. Yeah. I'm like,
That was like that little twist on it. I think was like one of the most interesting things about like that series, because I only played The Witcher 3. Like, I only played the third one, but going through it and trying to decide like how am I gonna handle people was like super interesting, and I loved the way. Because I think I like Geralt's similar reason why I like Bigby, which is like, why are these people treating me like this? Like basically, like I start the game acting one way or not understanding something, and then I change in the middle. But then by the end of the game, I circle back to how I started. Because with Bigby, it was like, I'm not the big bad wolf, but like I'm the good guy. But everybody treats me like I'm the villain. By the time I end, I'm like, oh no, I see why they treat me like the villain. Because sometimes I gotta do what I gotta do. And then with Geralt, it was like, why are there these options to like call people out and be like an asshole? And then I play through the game and I realize everyone treats me like an ass. I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. That's why I only care about money, because you people fucking suck. And like having like the game teach you that about like the character is super cool.
Question.
Yeah.
Is it okay to quote unquote, I guess, act like a villain if it gets results? This has nothing to do with like Big B story or whatever. This is just a general
like question. Be an anti-hero?
Yeah, if it gets results. Like, is it okay?
I mean, I guess it depends on your definition of okay. Like, because you say acceptable. Because I think we've had this conversation before about antiheroes, and like how like it almost
in a sense
doesn't really exist, because like that you can't be an antihero without being whatever. We're not going down that road again. But like, but like how like I don't think. Cause you gotta start asking, like, what does it mean? Like, if either, at the end of the day, you got the job done, so I guess it asks, was it worth what you had to do to get there? So like, if you had to like kill someone to save one person, is that fair? If you had to kill five people to kill one person, that doesn't seem like it should line up, but it could. So I guess I think it's like a almost like a case by case basis situation.
Okay, I mean, yeah, that does kind of make a lot more sense, because you never really know what you're going to do if you're put in that situation.
Yeah. Right.
So I guess I'm...
We can mostly end it with how Assassin's Creed Odyssey ended. That game...
Yeah, so trash.
Oh, man. I don't want to say that because I really did enjoy my time with the game, but, like, my God. Oh, my God.
Like, also, okay, was it trash or was it just abrupt?
It was
empty. It felt shallow. Yeah.
Yes. Very shallow, very empty. And it's crazy because in a game that has so much depth, not depth, well, a bit of depth too, but like so much density, for you to get to the end and feel like it was empty was so weird. Like, because like, I think I literally finished the game like a week, maybe less than a week after I was talking about how big the game was. Like, I was like, man, like, I'm doing all these things, and, like, there are all these different, you know, heads of this organization that try to kill my family, da-da-da-da-da. And then, like, 2-3 missions later, I'm done, and I'm like, wait, what? And man. So killing the organization is a total side thing, and even within that, I guessed who the main head of the whole situation was anyway, and I was like, well, then, like, that was a cool story beat, but at the same time, it didn't really mean anything. And then when you get to that, it's just, like, basically a normal cutscene, because you know what the problem is. The game splits into three parts. There's the find your family part, there's the kill the organization that try to kill your family part, and then there's like the reason why you can do all these godly things. So it's like three different parts, and when it splits like that, the game just starts to, because you don't know, the game stops building up to these like these big moments, because they're almost like they almost all become side quests, because none of them are the main quest anymore. Not because there's three of them, they can't all be the main quest. So like it just starts to like fall apart, and it's so unfortunate, so unfortunate.
Yeah.
So tell me, you said godly things. What does that mean?
So this isn't a spoiler or nothing, but like level 20, she can jump off a cliff and she won't take any damage. Like it's just. It's more demigod type shit, but like,
you know, specifically demigod, but they make allusions to that like so much of the game. Like you've got dialogue choices where you can like brag and be like, man, shit, I'm better than Zeus, so what's up?
Yeah,
and a kind of shit like that. And then you'll have characters, usually female characters, be like, wow, look at your godly like biceps or whatever, like complimenting your muscles and shit.
See, that's funny. I didn't get as much of that because I was Cassandra. I didn't get as much of that. I got like a hand. I got a handful.
So it changes for okay.
I got a handful of like of girls who are like, hey man, you trying to fuck? But that was like really it.
Oh wow, it changes like that.
I got a handful of like. There was one girl specifically, who actually, I think I only got like two that I can think of off the top of my head. Not even. I think I might have initiated most of them. Yes. One of them was questline based, which is why I think why it was happening. And then the other one was a side quest, and because like she was going to go to a fight to the death, And she was like, hey, man, I might not survive. You know, I'm just trying to, you know, get it when I can. And you bad and shit. So, you know, you down. But I didn't get a whole lot of like, oh, my, you're so attractive. I didn't get a lot of that. Yeah, like a handful. That's interesting. Like, it was, for me, it was more, I got more like, more people were like mentioning just how great or how strong I was. Less about like, you trying to fuck.
Definitely.
Yeah.
see, the thing about that game too, Odyssey, is interesting when you like think about, in Odyssey, I mean, you got the main choice of either playing as Alexios, like male person, or Cassandra, the female, whatever person. And then whoever you don't play as is going to be like a another character in the game, your sibling, basically. And so, like, you get that choice. You don't get to choose their name or that. From there on, like, your main choices, you get to choose, like, dialogue and quests and whatnot. Which, you know, like, sounds cool, I guess, but it's not like, it's not in the same way as like The Witcher, where you really know the kind of person that Alexios or Cassandra is, and you can kind of, because you can play the game where you kind of respond to situations how you think, like how I think Geralt would respond to this situation. Like, it's not me putting myself in that character.
Yeah.
But the way Odyssey is it's kind of like trying to do kind of both, because it's got the voice acting component too. So
yeah,
like Alexios and Cassandra are characters, but then you don't really know what kind of characters they are because the developers also want you to
make like, them your put own.
Yourself. Yeah. So it's like it's trying to do both things, but it's not really doing either one of them as well as it could be.
Because there were a handful of situations where I would say like basically like, because you know every dialogue option in video games is always like hardcore option. Evil option, good option, and it's greedy option, like, you know, super obvious. And there were a handful of times where I'd pick like the softer option, and she would say it like way weaker than I expected it to. And I was like, I know that was a softer out of the two, but Jesus Christ, don't like fucking prostrate, don't like get on your hands and knees and shit. Like, Jesus Christ, it's not what I was going for. And it's because the voice actor was probably given a line like, you know, this way you want to be soft and like and compassionate. And it's like, I was just trying not to like cut your head off. I wasn't trying to like bow down or anything. And like that's where like the disconnect comes in with like them trying to like make Cassandra her own character but also give you the choice. Because there were a handful of times like I'd do like the angrier option, and again she'd go way too far. I'm like, that's not what I wanted, but okay, all right, I guess that's what we're going with. And is yeah, so I see like what you're saying is true, that like them trying to do both did kind of muddy it a little bit, but I don't know.
Yeah. But I mean, and what did you think? Because you played other Assassin's Creed games, like how did you think Odyssey stacked up compared to them?
So, I feel like for the most part, I think everybody is usually on the same page that it's like, 2 was great as shit, but like,
yes, sir.
Like 2, like so, like 1 was like had a bunch of cool ideas, didn't execute them as well. 2 is like the end all, like essentially the end all be all. Like that was like crazy what you did there. I personally think Brotherhood is arguably the best because it's just 2, but done like a little bit more refined, like added a couple of extra elements. Well, it wasn't quite co-op, but it had like the, like you could like recruit, recruit assassins and shit.
Yeah, that was cool.
And like, so it added like things like that. But I think, and the Revelations is what it is. It's not bad or anything. I just think it's like, it's almost too much the same like Brotherhood, but not enough. Like it's, whatever, we don't need to get into it. But the formula, yeah, it was like, it was like good enough, but it wasn't like, I think the progression stopped being like the curve of greatness of getting better and better. I think started to like plateau there, which is why I think people don't like it as much. But then you get to, I think 3 came next and 3 was not good. 3 was not good. Nah. Like both taking you out of Europe where there's a bunch of like tall cities and being in colonial America where there aren't a bunch of things to parkour off of properly. The story was a little whack. Like the whole thing was like not as, the best thing that came out of 3 was the ship combat, which they doubled down in 4, which I think is another one of the best ones. And then I didn't play Unity or.
Did they have, they had ship combat in 3?
Yeah. Yeah. That's, oh, that's where, sh- yeah. Whack. Yeah. It was like very small, but like it's the best thing that came out of that whole series. Or, I mean, out of that game. 4 was fucking awesome. Because that's when they 4, I think Four, I think, is the progenitor, like the beginning of what Origins and Odyssey became, which is we're just going to make a really cool game and then throw the Assassin's Creed skin on top of it, which is why I think...
one I liked a lot?
Which one?
Black Flag.
That was four. That's Black Flag.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it was like, we're just going to make you a cool pirate. We're going to give a good enough story and you're off to the races. Go sail around, do some cool shit. And that's why I feel like on the top of the list is like Black Flag, and then I think my personal list is Brotherhood, but I think it's like Black Flag. I like Odyssey like just behind like Brotherhood and Black Flag. I want to like Origins more than I did, but like the way the story started, it was mad confusing and it just kind of threw me off for the rest of the game. But like it was really good because it refined a lot of the elements. Odyssey did anyway. But then there were just a bunch of like parts that just like fell flat completely. And it's like overall it's still really good and really high up there, but I don't think it's like it's not as good as
a good Assassin's Creed game though. Because when you said they kind of threw the Assassin's Creed on top of it, I honestly I enjoyed Odyssey, but I didn't get the Assassin's feel.
Exactly. Because like literally I'm not like not even joking. I was at the time I thought I was like, man, I'm probably like halfway through this game. I was probably actually like 75% of the way through the game, and I was like, where does the Assassin's part come into play? Because haven't found it yet.
So you guys,
but whatever.
You really didn't have like Assassin's quotas and stuff in Odyssey?
You could assassinate people.
So
but by with a loose use of the definition, because you know assassinate is supposed to be important people, which right. I guess you did sometimes in Odyssey, but like no, like in like so like. So what Odyssey and Origins have in common as far as like the Assassin's Creed aspect is like you're going after like a cult essentially. So like that's the assassination part, but it's also like the way it was set up in Odyssey was way more about just like revenge than it was like I don't know, it's just like the assassins part wasn't there. Like being for the people was like wasn't there. Like it just wasn't. Like it's literally just like they throw like the Assassin's Creed label on it, and they go, "This is just a fun game to play."
I mean, yeah, technically at that point in Origins and Odyssey, the Assassin's like order hasn't been created yet. So that's I guess that's part of the reason. But I was hoping to like see like foundation.
Me too.
It was just like
me too.
It was
as far as being attached to the Assassin's Creed universe. That shit is non-existent. If like nah, like if that's how we're grading it, that shit's like might be at the bottom, probably at the bottom because it has nothing to do with any of them. But as far as as a game, I fuck with it, but like not as like a part of the Assassin's Creed universe. Because I remember at the end of Origins, not really a spoiler, but like there's a character who like basically goes off to start the order, and I remember thinking like, oh cool, so like she's probably gonna like. Because I played Origins mad late, like super late. I think I played like last year, which was like 2-3 years too late. But I remember thinking two, three years late. I remember thinking, oh, this character's probably going to end up meeting Alexios or Cassandra at some point, and they're going to like kind of start up the order or something like that. And that shit don't ever happen. Like, this game has nothing to do with Assassins, except for the weird ass fucking. Shit, they're still doing the present day stuff.
Which is I don't like, know what just, is going on. Bro.
Can we just get rid of this shit, please?
I don't know.
Can we just please stop? Because like, that's here's the thing.
I don't know why I keep doing this back and forth present day stuff.
Here's
like,
the thing. The aliens thing, I'm fine with. Not the greatest thing, weird quirky thing, but I'm fine with. Fine. Aliens came through. They gave us the Apple of Eden. It's really just.
Hey, it's E again. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of The Neon Black. We hope you enjoyed the conversation and we look forward to next time. That's all we've got for now, so as the neon fades, please stay safe, stay cool, and remember the most important color in the box is neon black.